Welcome to the Leadership in Context podcast with Keith Tusey. Often the only difference between those seeking an abortion and many believers is pregnancy. Both do not want a child.
Hi, this is Keith Tusey and welcome to Leadership in Context and a Happy New Year to you. Hey, to start off the new year, I want to really get your cranium involved here and really kind of stir up a subject and get us really thinking like believers and at least thinking rather than just acting. You know, when you hear the phrase Christian worldview, there's a lot of different things that come to mind, and there are certainly some great Christian worldview teaching that's going out there. But, you know, there is a deafening silence on one of the cornerstones on what should be a Christian worldview that is pretty much ignored or just very lightly passed over. And I really think it's significant and remarkable that we have not really had great discussion on this subject. And the subject I'm talking about is the issue of human procreation, having children. The subject that we call birth control, that I will choose to call child prevention, because essentially that's what it is. It's not controlling a birth, it's preventing a child, okay? And the cornerstone of a Christian worldview should revolve around people and that their value coming from God, not coming from the government, not being equal or lesser to any other creation like an animal, and not serving the earth and Mother Earth, but the earth serving that. And when you have those things out of whack, then those are the things that rise up. And I'm not necessarily pushing for one certain thing here. I'll definitely share my opinions in some other broadcasts. I'm going to share some scripture with you. But my greatest concern is that this is a topic that is just very rarely discussed among believers. And I think it's got to be something that we really, really talk about. When you think about the world, or you think especially about the reasons for abortion, the primary reasons are money and lifestyle. In other words, I can't afford a child, or I don't want to have a child, or I want to be able to pay off my college loans, or I want to be able to buy a house. In other words, there's a price tag that's associated with a life. That is a pro-abortion argument. But it is the exact same argument or lack of argument that I hear coming from the church. It's a monetary issue, putting a price tag on a human being. The other one is lifestyle. I'm not ready for this. It's going to interrupt my life. It's going to be an inconvenience to me, it being the child. Again, a pro-abortion argument that we have somehow tried to sanctify and make it part of the normal Christian life. Years ago, many years ago, in the early 80s, mid-80s, I guess, actually, I was sitting in front of an abortion clinic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with about 200 other people that would get arrested that day because we were nonviolently blocking the doors to an abortuary so that nobody could get in and kill a baby that day. And in the midst of this, several hundred people, and then a big crowd across the street, and dozens of policemen, pretty chaotic atmosphere, organized chaos, I guess you could say it. In the midst of this, a very small young woman attempted to climb over this crowd and get to the doors. Obviously, there was no way those doors were going to come open with 200 people piled against them. But this woman had an appointment to kill her baby that day, and she was passionate about getting into that building. The police couldn't stop her, and literally she walked on top of people's heads and shoulders trying to get to that door. And I was very amazed by this. And I remember later that day thinking that the only difference between her and many believers was that she was pregnant and they weren't, but their attitude about children were the same. They did not want a child. She just happened to have one. Other believers were just taking steps not to get one. But the root of it was the same. As a result of that, Penny and I had some very deep discussions and prayed and talked to each other and researched the scriptures and came to a conclusion that Jesus should be Lord of our bodies. What a great conclusion, huh? But I want to walk you through that. I want to get you thinking. I don't want to try to give you a secondhand conviction here, okay? If we say that children are a blessing, and we do, and the Bible is very clear, children are never referred to as a curse. Children are a blessing. Why do we want to limit that blessing? Why do we want to go without that blessing? Why do we all do all we can? When I say we, I'm talking about the royal we. The collective group in the church is not a whole lot different than the world per capita. And I think to some degree, we've adopted a pro-abortion position because we're living in a vacuum. My body, my choice. In other words, this is my body. I get to do what I want with my body. I don't want to have a baby in my body. Well, that's what that girl was saying when she was going through. I don't want to have a baby in my body. And there is obviously a difference between killing a live human being and preventing a live human being. But I think the ethics of it need to really be investigated. You know, Planned Parenthood, the world's largest killer of unborn children and exploiter of women, their initial name, founded by Margaret Sanger, was the Birth Control League. Okay, it was the Birth Control League. It was the preventing of children. Okay, so my concern here is not what kind of decision we're making. I do have a concern in that matter. But the fact that we're putting so little effort into coming up with these decisions. Now, here's how I know this. As a pastor, during premarital counseling, I would ask the question about what were the plans about having children. And most of these people who were sitting under, you know, I think relatively effective preaching and teaching. I have to say that because I was their pastor, but nonetheless, usually would answer without so much as the thought to say, well, we decided that we're going to wait 3 years or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or, you know, whatever it may be. And I would ask them to let me in on that conversation and how did that go? And unfortunately, for most of them, this was the first time, even in their relationship, that they were having a genuine ethical or intellectual discussion about the decision they were making. Because, let's face it, everybody was making this decision. And of course, then it went from there to what degrees will we do things to our bodies to prevent a child from living inside our bodies or contributing to the conception of that child. And what I found out from those discussions was alarming to me, that you could have genuine believers who really hadn't considered anything but themselves in that situation. And I'm not saying they were evil for that. I'm saying that in our Christian culture, in a Christian worldview, that somehow the very ethics of life, the beginning of life, Obviously, think about this. If you know, we know the idea that if you're on a trip and you get off 1 degree and you travel so far, you'll be off, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles. Well, if our human existence is that we have the right to eliminate children after they're conceived, or we have the right to eliminate potential children so that they don't get conceived, and then we talk about the value of life and the dignity of life, the sacredness of the sexes, male and female, and of the family, these institutions, yet we have kind of, without realizing it, I think, in most cases, completely eroded the foundation of humanity that children are conceived in a loving marital relationship. I think this is really worth considering, especially in the context of having a Christian worldview. What does the Bible say? What does history say? What do our current state of affairs say? But we'll never get answers to these things if we don't ask the right questions. So I just wanted to stir you up a little bit with that thinking, and I'm going to make an invitation to you. Any question you have, because right now there's some people listening, well, what about this? What about? They're probably really good questions. And maybe I have a list of them that I'm going to answer. Maybe yours isn't on there. But if you would send me your question or even a comment, I'm open to the comment about this. But I'm going to go through some other details with you in the next couple weeks. And I invite you to really listen to this and give some real consideration so that no matter what decision you're making, the decision is not just a cultural cave-in, but it's truly an intellect and spiritually inspired decision that you're making because Jesus is Lord of your life, all of your life. Hey, this is Keith Tusey for Leadership in Context. Maybe you need to listen to this over again, and maybe you need to send it to somebody else to listen to. Maybe you need to have a discussion with some friends, but listen, send me some comments, send me some questions. I'd be glad to entertain them, and maybe I'll even have an answer for you. Hey, this is Keith Tusey for Leadership in Context, equipping believers to live a kingdom life in the context of the culture and their local church.
If we say that children are a blessing, why do we want to limit that blessing? The concern is that we put so little effort into coming to the decision to limit how many children we have. This episode stirs up a conversation on procreation. Send your questions and comments about this to Pastor Keith at podcast@nrpastors.com. Thanks for listening this week to another episode of Leadership in Context with Keith Tusey. Join us next week as Keith continues to equip believers to lead in every area and venue of life. As always, subscribe, like, rate, and share our podcast. To contact Keith or ask him a question, email podcast@nrpastors.com. If you would like more information, you can check out our website, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram @nrpastors. See you next week.